Yes, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is 68, General.
Okay, now, there's one line in this song that I like. Otherwise, it sounds like the wretched screams of a man being tortured to death in the pit of, in the bowel of hell. Here. Yeah, right there. I like that. My bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger.
Yeah, that's fine. We gotta get the show going.
And I just want to... Yeah, and then right there where he screams.
Anyway, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah, and I'm Robert Leonard.
And yes, this is Margaret Gray. And here is Phil Hendry.
So you... What the hell are you playing, Bud?
This 68. Track 80.
My bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger. Ah!
Yeah, all right, man.
Okay, man.
Well, Phil, you know, it's unusual to find the General in love with any kind of music you play on this program.
Yeah, well, that's the you said a mouthful right there.
I beg your pardon?
You're not allowed to say mouthful.
You can't say mouthful.
I thought you got the memo on that, as they like to say. You can't say, when you're looking at me and you're talking to me, don't you dare say that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, Margaret, I didn't know.
Well, yes, you did, but...
Well, that was a memo that was passed around quite some time ago.
Anyway, what's with you in 68?
What's with me and what?
The song.
I like my bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger. Ah! God, that speaks to me.
Man, you don't sound like you got a bad home life.
I've got a wonderful home life. What are you talking about? But that's a line that comes... Whenever... I'll tell you right now. Whenever Teresa's family is visiting...
Forget it.
What are you laughing at?
So when her family visits, that's the...
That's the line that comes most to mind, right?
Yes, it is. My bags... I want to look at her brother and sister and my nephews and niece and everyone. And I want to just say... Gah! My bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger.
But in other words, you feel as if you're a stranger in your own home.
No, I don't feel that way. Would you get with it? You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying, but somehow it's cathartic.
Right there. Give the man a cigar. It's cathartic. You got that right.
Well, it does. It really is quite a jarring song, as we like to say.
Yeah, my bag is packed.
My bag isn't packed, but...
Well,
don't get cute, okay? My bag, what I want to say to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law when they come to visit is look them dead in the eye, hoist up a gym bag and say, my bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger, and then get right up nose to nose with my brother-in-law and go, ah, and then walk out.
All right, so in other words, it's not a very pleasant visit.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Well, why don't you make an effort to change that?
What do you want me to do, kill them?
Well, what do you mean, kill them?
I don't get along with Teresa's brother, and I don't get along with Teresa's sister.
I thought your wife's name was Patsy.
I don't know where you got that.
Yeah, her name was Teresa.
No, it's Patsy.
Well, all right,
You know, it may be interchangeable. I don't know. I'll have to look at the script.
Yeah, to the extent that there is a script.
Or whatever show notes you have.
Right. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks, the Phil Hendry Show. Big news, you know, with the whole bullcrap. With what's-his-name, right?
Now, talk about Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Cruz got into some problems, I guess, with the, once again, some dirty trick stuff. You know, they're saying that it isn't really Cruz, that he's just got some slobs that work for him.
Oh, Phil, don't buy into that. Ted Cruz, as you well know, is one of the great all-time lowlifes.
Boy, that right there, that's something that Margaret and I can agree on.
All right, well, that may well be, but...
It said that waybill...
That Waymel?
Yeah, so that Waymel B.
Yeah, that's the girl who was in the Spice... That's the girl who was in the Spice Girl.
Well, who was in the Spice Girl?
All right, thanks a lot, Bud. I appreciate that. Hey, nice one.
Thank you.
That may well be, but the fact of the matter remains that Mr. Cruz had to fire a communications guy because the guy, he put something up online. I don't know. Everybody thinks that Cruz is a piece of crap. You guys do, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think the guy's a turd from way back. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Now, this is good. Ladies, what, the thing you said before the show started?
Yeah, I mean, the other guy that said it was that guy, that Stuart Stevens guy who was a Romney guy. This is the whole thing right here, man. I don't care what Rubio and Cruz, and they don't like each other, and the dirty tricks. You know, you want to know how Cruz is going to rehabilitate himself? Going after Trump by the throat, tear it out, put it in his trash compactor as...
Oh, God, you're quoting Michael Douglas from Wall Street.
Yeah, man, that's the way you gotta do it.
Yeah, you gotta be aggressive.
That's exactly right. You gotta be aggressive. Cruz, the only way Cruz is gonna get himself out from under all this crap, he's gotta go after Trump.
Well, I don't know why these guys, the whole thing is, you're supposed to win, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to win. And these clowns seem to be playing for second place, just like the guy said. Nobody's going after Trump. Nobody is. And the guy said something very smart. He said, you gotta get up inside Trump's head. And it's a messy head.
Well, he's not talking about the guy's hairdo.
No, he's not. He's not talking about the hairdo. He's talking about what's inside the head.
Yeah, you have messed up inside, man.
You think he's crazy, Mr. Henry?
I don't know if he's crazy, but he's got a. You know, Donald Trump has just all kinds of crap that's flying around in his head, and the way he gets things done is in a very specific Donald Trump way of getting things done. But I mean, this dude is not. He's not laying out policy. He's not laying out any specifics or anything else that anybody is actually going to understand. So I think that that dude was right, and I think that's what has to be done. Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and a very hearty and happy welcome to you on this Tuesday morning, you know.
Yes, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Really do enjoy having you with us, and I'll tell you what, if you like the show, please do share the show with friends, with neighbors, with co-workers, with enemies, with Donald Trump. In fact, go ahead and take a copy of our show, today's show, in fact, and just flood the Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump combine with love, man, with the love, you know. I'm going to go to Bob Bacon. He's up in the traffic there to see how things are going. Bob, how you doing, man?
Right now, we got a fair little day, and you're going to tell right now, spank it up and get your thing green, because it's going to be a wonderful day. And now here on the 5-5 freeway, traveling, if you go down, and put the paper up, put that pay stub in there, and then it goes down. We go out Skyboy right now, the inside of 5-5 is downtown the Clown Town.
Hey, Bob, I'm going right now. I'm going 17. I'll tell you right now, you haven't really seen it. And he put a slingshot up the ground, then put it up the crack and all that. Look at the boys, Sky Baby, sweet man. Water tower.
Yeah. Nine times a swing and
meat.
Birthstones in my bling.
Yeah.
Rolex goggles. Some of my best side bitches I ever had.
Boy, sweet and Sky Baby.
That girl. With that girl from
the
Russian tuber, no cut, that's pearl.
Yeah!
Oily base extra.
The hell is this, friend? My bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger. Wow!
Enough, my friends. Welcome back here to the show. Thank you very much there, Bob, and the rest of the crew there. Hey, listen to me. Valentine's is long gone, man. Long gone for another year. I hope you had your act together. I hope you got us something beautiful.
Now, are you going to tell everyone what you got, Lauren? Because it's absolutely spectacular.
Yes, Phil, we did see it. Lauren was showing it off.
No, I will not tell people.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Margaret, please, you know.
Well, what is the problem with that?
Because I don't want people to think. It's nobody's business, to be perfectly honest with you.
Come on, Mr. Henry. Everyone knows.
I'm telling you right now.
Well, it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. It was breathtaking. And I think you're going to have some cash flow problems, Phil.
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, wow. One of those, huh? You want to stick it right up in the nose of every one of your male listeners like you're some kind of hot stuff, huh? That's why I say my bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger. Ah! See what I mean?
You know, I'm going to have you committed. What do you think of that?
What are you talking about?
I'm going to have you committed to a nut house, to a mental institution, to a mental asylum, to a...
What are you talking about, that Tascadero?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly, that's one option.
Hey, who's talking to you, you little bitch?
Hey, watch it.
What do you mean?
If you keep up with that, my bags are packed and I'm leaving a stranger.
Oh, look at the guy's laughing, though.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Henry is sitting there going, yoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, yoo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, is that what I did?
Yes.
Phil, I express myself in unique ways, the same as you, only it seems like you're the only guy that's allowed.
All right, never mind. Forgot I bringed it up, okay?
Well said.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Anyway, Valentine's Day is long gone, but there's still a week left to win a date with Bobby Dooley. In fact, Bobby is going to be up here in just a moment to be talking with us about advising the people that issue food stamps on just exactly what kinds of foods low-income people should have. She is at the Gated Community Expo now through Sunday, And,
well, that's that talk about class.
Yeah, I've heard talk about food stamp and foodstuffs while she's at the, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how it's all rolling out. You guys booked her.
No, you did.
No, you did. I didn't book her.
Yeah, I book her.
Yeah, book her.
Not Booker T. Washington. You mean threat that?
Oh. Oh, man. So,
wow.
Anyway, for the entire month of February, all annual Backstage Pass members, new or old, will be entered to win our grand prize, a phone date with Bobby Dooley. Oh, yeah. And don't forget, all new annual Backstage Pass members also receive the entire Best of the Radio digital CD collection, too. That's a $150 value just as a freebie for signing up. We haven't forgotten about our monthly Backstage Pass members, either. During the month of February, all Backstage Pass members, annual or monthly, new or old, will receive a free autographed and kissed digital headshot from Bobby, sprayed with their signature. Your perfume, Moist Desert or All Rise County of...
Yes, County of She-Wolf.
Right.
I thought it was All Rise She-Dog.
No, that was All Rise She-Dog of the Heather.
Are you guys going to keep this up so that I have to commit homicide? Is that it? Or are you going to save me from a homicide charge?
What are you talking about, Sonny?
What do you mean All Rise She-Wolf of the... So,
well, these are scents that she's experimenting with. You want me to talk to her about it?
No, I can address the issue when we get her on the air here. So don't delay. Head over to what?
Wait, don't boo-boo-boo delay.
No, you said don't poo delay. Sorry.
All right, fella. Jesus, look at the way he's looking at us.
Yes.
Yeah, you got that right. So don't delay. Head over to www.philhenryshow.com. Once again, that's www.philhenryshow.com and sign up for a Backstage Pass to the greater comedy, to the greater comedy metropolitan area, to the greatest comedy archives on the planet. For barely more than the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you get access to our vast 20,000-plus hour archives, the daily HD videocasts, exclusive pre-show commentary and prep, exclusive Saturday shows, our weekly chats with the BSPs, me and Baby Makes Three, baby, the Milwaukee Line Archive, access to our monthly promo, and much, much more. Do it today, www.philhenryshow.com.
Back to Phil Henry's show.
Thank you very much, Bud. Bringing on the line. Well, first of all, let me tell you, we have a story here from Albany, New York. A New York State lawmaker wants to block the use of food stamps for luxury items like high-end steaks, lobster, and what he calls junk, or what she calls junk food. This is Senator Patty Ritchie from Oswegatchie, St. Louis County in New York. She introduced a bill on Wednesday. I don't know what gets it in somebody's head to just say, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to pass a bill that says people on food stamps can't get steak and lobster.
Well, you know, possibly she was in the supermarket and she saw someone with food stamps buying lobster.
Yeah. So she just got nosy and busybody and...
Well, you don't know, Phil. It might be something much more serious.
Well, let me look. She introduced a bill on Wednesday that would further restrict the type of purchases that could be made through the state's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly referred to as the food stamp program. Ritchie's bill would target what she calls luxury food items, blocking food stamp recipients from using their benefits to purchase certain foods that are either high-end or not nutritious. What's not nutritious about a steak?
Well, now, wait just a minute. You're the guy that says you don't eat steak
because it's got a lot of calories. But, you know, that's the way I eat steak. If I took that steak and I cut it up and I had a little steak sandwich with a 40-calorie bread or something like that and that light mayo, that's a very nice little meal, man. You can do that, man. You can have yourself a steak sandwich for under 300, maybe 300 calories. So, you know, this woman, this Ritchie, anything can be a damn luxury item if you get right down to it. So Ritchie's bill targets what she calls luxury food items. Maybe that's because she buys a lot of that stuff and she knows how expensive it is on that state senator salary of hers. But the bill's memo lays out some examples. Lobsters, certain steaks, decorated cakes, and energy drinks, to name a few. At a time when our state and nation are struggling with obesity epidemic, it is critically important that taxpayer-funded programs help. You know, they don't like the nanny state, and yet here's the nanny state.
Well, wait a minute. You know, if you're going to give these people
you know, you're giving these food stamps to people who have children, to a lot of times to mothers who've got kids. And where's the father? That guy is long gone. Some bum, you know.
Well, Phil, you don't know for sure.
Well, let me just tell you. If you want to talk about people living in poverty, many times it's a mother living with kids. And where's daddy? And I'm not just talking about black guys, because that's what the average white guys think. Well, it's the... No. The white guys are running out of their kids, too. Don't even worry about that one. And so what do? We turn around now, and we take those people living in poverty, we further restrict them, and we say, it's kind of like saying to a woman, now everybody here that has money, they can go get an abortion. And they can go get, but you, because you're poor, we're going to tell you what morality you should. You don't get to have one. You don't get to have any of that. Because you're poor. But if they're rich, of course they get to have one. Now, Henry, you're going to get into all kinds of trouble. Well, let's just,
Yeah, but Terry, let's get off the high horse and everything and talk about the real world.
Yeah, the real world, man, is steak and lobster. Now, yeah, I agree that it's delicious, and I love to have steak, I love to have lobster, and a lot of times I love a decorated cake, but I'm not on food stamps, you know.
No, well, so what's that got to do with anything?
Well, we're just saying, you can't put it down, but by the same token...
You know, we're just saying, Phil, why would you let a poor person have the decorated cake and so on?
Now, you know, they have the, look, I'm just telling you guys that this is a, one of these grandstand acts that they do for an election year. Hey, let's go ahead and start beating up on people that got food stamps. Let's go ahead and make Senator, Dickweed here.
You know, that is very wrong.
Yeah. Patty Ritchie, let's, give Patty her issue of the year so she can kick her ass back into a job come election time. At a time when our state and nation are struggling with obesity... it is critically important that taxpayer-funded programs help low-income consumers make wise and healthy food choices. Is it really? Restrictions on the... Why? What is that going to do? Restrictions on the type of purchases that... And by the way, these are individuals who, you know, are being kept from by certain members of the... Well, never mind.
Yeah, Bill, you're giving a big speech here.
Yeah.
All right, let's get Bobby Dooley on the line here. Bobby is with, as you know, the Homeowners Association there in... Western Estates, California, and just give her a few minutes here on the air, and we're really happy to have her with us here. Bobby is at the Western Estates. This is at the community Gated Community Expo, Bobby?
Yes, Phil. We're at the Gated Community Expo here. It is being held by the Starburst Gated Community, as well as the El Conejo Gated Community and Associated Lifestyle Living, I think, Steve.
Yeah, this very high-end lifestyle.
And we're going to be here through Sunday looking at a great many of the options available to those of us who live the gated community lifestyle. You're referencing, Phil?
Yeah, we're referencing this this bill.
Yeah, this is a bill. I'll take it from here.
I got it right here. Coffee, too.
Oh, you got Starbucks, Phil. Hold on. Oh, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
The bill, Phil, is from, as you mentioned, Patty Ritchie of Oswegatchewata. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's in St. Lawrence County. And what we're doing here is we want to make sure that the high-end steaks and lobsters are reserved for those of us who are capable of purchasing them.
You put it that way, Ms. Dooley. This is General Shaw.
Well, I'm not, if you just mind for one moment, General, I'm not really done rolling out what I, and then I'll take all of your questions, all right?
Well, that's fine, Bobby, but we do have questions.
I understand that, but let me just get this,
Don't tell me.
They're playing my favorite song. Oh, God, I love this song. You lied to me, Return of the Mac.
Where are you again?
We're at the expo for the Homeowners Association.
Yes, this is an expo that they have lawn furniture and this kind of thing.
Yes, we come to this expo so we can see what kinds of patio furniture, what kinds of interior decorating tips, lots of different things. It's very exciting. And there's also music being played and people walking by the large, beautiful Olympic-sized pool here at Sonnet Winwego Estates, very slowly walking with glasses of white wine, the men in blazers and the women in beautiful dresses, as we discuss the steaks and the lobsters.
All right.
I'm not done yet.
Yeah, my wife's got a layout of...
All right.
Phil, what we're really asking for through Senator Ritchie, and hopefully we're going to bring this to the state of California for a vote, is that when you're talking about the lobsters, the steaks, the high-end cuts of meat, and certain pastries and decorated cakes, there simply is no reason to have individuals who are on food stamps, that would be poor people, to be sitting down and eating these items as if they were wealthy. We know that they're not. And I think what it does is it gives them false hope. If they were able to be here and walk very gently and slowly by the pool...
Yes, with a glass of white wine.
That's right, General. I...
All right, go ahead.
Sorry, but you've already stated your case. With a glass of white wine and walking slowly and the men are wearing blazers, you're saying people in food stamps can't do that.
People in food stamps?
No, people who are on food stamps, forgive me.
I'm saying it's very unlikely.
All right, Bobby, this is Margaret. I don't really understand the point you're making here. You're saying that if people are on food stamps, they would look ridiculous at the Homeowners Expo, and they would certainly look ridiculous sitting down and eating a steak.
Yes, because you'd say to them, well, hi, are you so-and-so? Are you, Mary Bell Stanford or whatever?
All right, let's not get ethnic, okay?
Well, Phil...
Granted, that's not ethnic, so, but it sort of is.
I want to set the scene. And you say to them, well, you're eating steak. I think I saw you in the market last week, paying for it with food stamps. And they'll say that...
Turn that down.
Turn what down?
But just back away from the phone a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I saw you in the market, buying with food stamps. And they go, well, you're right. And I'd have to at that time say, you really don't belong here, do you? And they would probably say, no, they don't.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing about it,
Yeah, well, okay. So you're looking at somebody because they're sitting down to a steak and maybe a chop, having steaks and chops, right?
What? What do you mean steaks and chops?
Well, the kid is talking about, Bud is talking about these very, luxurious dinners.
Yes. What about them?
All right, so you're saying that people who are on food stamps do not deserve to be eating those meals.
Well, that's true, Phil, but I'm also saying that if you're in the company of people who are used to eating the steaks and chops and the different cuts of meat, the cutlets,
Yeah, I was going to say the cutlets.
Yes.
What do you mean cutlets? What makes that so high-end?
Well, if you have to ask, then...
All right, so you're saying, in other words, that they're in the wrong company.
I think so. And, Phil, what we're simply saying is that we want them to save their money to purchase the things that they can afford. The Boca Burger, or...
Boca Burgers are not all that cheap.
Well, you know what I mean. All of the hamburgers that you find frozen and pre-made. Or you can get the, I don't know if they make them anymore. I guess they don't. The Trump steak,
Well, the Trump steak came in a box. Well...
Yes, exactly. The Trump steak. That was perfect for poor people. But Donald Trump didn't know how to run the company. He ran it into the ground.
Well, you're talking about Donald Trump, though.
I know. Well, he is someone we want to vote for. I love this one. You lied to me. You lied to me.
Yeah.
Steve and I want to dance. Will there be anything else?
Oh, yeah. I
guess not, Bobby. I guess we have everything that we need.
Hold on. Whee!
I'm trolling my wife.
Bobby, before you go...
You lied to me.
I think they threw the phone down.
Is anyone there? Is anybody... I'll go to the phone right now.
General.
No, I will.
Hey, you people dancing.
Oh, my God, it's the general.
Yeah. We've got some questions for you. You're blowing out your ass. Well, is that right? La, la, la,
la, la. Get him back, bud.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Can we get the...
Oh, my God, Steve.
He's fine. He's a little waterlogged. I'll come back to the phone now, Phil.
You dirty...
How was that? If you ever do that again, you're fired.
Oh, give me a break. If you ever do that again, you're fired.
My husband's waterlogged. Steve.
All right, Bobby, we apologize.
You'll hear from my attorney.
Listen to Phil. He's like, Phil, just remember, my bags are packed.
Yeah, and you're leaving a stranger. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Fast, I hit
the
weed, you take the wheel, we
lose control. Drop the top of
the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
All right, man. got some a lot of really whack stuff happening in the news here. As a matter of fact, you know what we did not do, and we have to do it right now, is our good, close, personal friend. That's right. It is time for Harvey Wireman and Newsbreak. Harvey?
Thank you very much, Phil. Yeah, this is Harvey Wireman and Newsbreak. I didn't know whether you were going to get to me or not, because we've got some stories here having to do with the motion picture business, and there have been a lot of movies that are making the news. First of all, let me tell you that this movie... easily won the battle for heaven and earth right here.
You're talking about Deadpool?
Yes, Deadpool. Thank you. Easily won the battle for heaven and earth at the North American box office. Box office. And I tell you what, in its second outing, earning a Cezazabubu. $55 million.
Sizable.
Yes, sizable. $55 million from 3277 theaters to trounce biblical rear-ending
resurrection.
Resurrection tale. Reason.
No, that's Risen.
Risen. Yeah.
Risen.
Well, which is it?
I thought it was about Andre Risen. I'm sorry.
No, it's about Risen. Whatever that means.
It's about Jesus.
Oh.
Andre Risen.
Oh, yeah, why not? Boy, there's a guy. If ever there was a guy that needs a movie, he had that left eye, burn his house to the ground. Okay?
Harvey, that is hardly a reason to have a movie made about you.
Oh, is that right? You come home and you see your home smoldering, burnt to the ground, some nutcase with the left eye bugged out. I don't know what. I don't know how he lived through it. So I'd love to see an Andre Risen movie, and that's what I thought that was about. Anyway, it is also the
Demonic, I think.
Yeah, demonic-laced The Witch. Now, Phil, on Saturday, Ryan Reynolds'
Audacious.
Yeah, Audacious Superhero. What is that word?
Superhero?
Oh, superhero movie. Raced past the $200 million mark. In North America, it's ninth day in release and faster than any R-rated title in history. Through Sunday, the film's domestic gross is $235.4 million.
God.
All right, million. I'm trying to get through this. While it almost cleared $500 million.
Million.
Oh, yeah, million.
No, that's globally.
Globally. In a massive victory. Sorry, Margaret.
Yes, I said I didn't want that word used.
What?
Massive.
Come on, Margaret.
I said I didn't want it used.
Sorry. Massive victory. One final note here, Phil. The movie is now destined to become the top R-rated title in history. Eclipikisiki. The Passion of the Cream Cheese. And
eclipsing the Passion of the Cream Cheese.
All right, well, that's what it says here. Anyway, there you have the Harvey Wireman Newsbreak. Thanks so much, and all of you people can kiss it on Main Street.
Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you.
So there you have, turn that down, will you, bud?
Sorry.
So there we have the, what about that Deadpool, huh?
Well, everybody's talking about it. So I'm going to have to go see that thing.
Yeah, looks like I'll have to get my ass out and watch it, too. But, I mean, the grosses on this thing.
Well, yes, the grosses on this thing. You know something? We're just movie watchers. We don't have a piece of the studios. I am still a mother and a consumer, and I don't know that I like all of this superhero action fantasy horse dung.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. The technology that is now available to filmmakers is so, you know, amazing. They want to use it. So you've got all these technology-heavy flicks, and, you know...
Yeah, what about that movie Risen?
It's called Risen. Risen, man, not Risen.
What about that?
All right, well, that's a, you know... But they're also the using... I think if you use the special effects, if you use the CGI, etc., for a real great story, it's fantastic. I'm not saying the Deadpool isn't, but every single movie now has to have... those effects.
Now, you were talking about what the top 50 ghoul movies, right?
Well, the top 50 horror movies.
Yeah.
And this was earlier. I was talking to Phil earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Mr. Ender. Top 50 horror movies what nobody's ever seen.
Right. I got a hold of this list. And that's why I wanted to get Doug Danger in here, because Doug is a film critic, as you know, for the Orange County Courier, and is a guy that has quite obviously been involved in the critiquing of films. Doug, the documentary that I watched the other night, and you and I discussed, the top 50 horror films that you've never seen, how is this compiled?
Well, I mean, the top 50 horror films that was you've never seen was compiled by a number of different critics. These are people everyone from Fangoria magazine, also Orange County Courier, which is me, and I gave it the Gay Eye. They wanted, we do our own horror magazine called Gay Eye on Horror, which is edited by me, Doug Danger, because I'm a gay man, gay journalist, all right? And we have a very specific way of viewing through the very honest view of the gay. And I can tell you that the top 50 horror movies that you've never seen is one of the greatest lists that I've ever been associated with.
Now, I saw two movies that you recommended.
Which one?
I saw Funhouse and The Descent.
And I know you didn't like Funhouse.
I thought Funhouse was a little goofy. It's a Funhouse from the 70s.
Are you kidding me? Funhouse is the greatest ghoul that I ever did see.
What are you talking about, man? That ghoul looked like a gopher.
Yeah, I saw that Funhouse. The guy, as soon as he pulls the mask off, he's got a gopher head.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think that doesn't really hold up all that well. Although, the rest of the tale is quite interesting. I think it has its moments. But the movie The Descent that you also saw, Phil, you gave it high marks, didn't you?
I did. The Descent was fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, what is the film Descent about?
Well, The Descent is about these girls that find their way. They go cave exploring, you know. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I remember watching this movie, and I thought, oh, this is like what it is to be gay. Because as a gay man, a gay journalist, and a gay critic, it's almost like I'm having to negotiate all these tunnels and all of these strange and dark and stalactite kind of landscapes as I hunt for truth and I try to get people to talk to me straight and not lie to me because I'm gay. Okay?
What do you mean lie to you because you're gay? You came out of the closet.
Yeah, I came out of the closet 3 weeks ago. So I have been on a long, hard journey.
Well, you're trying to find the truth. And you say that being gay, you can't get the truth.
No, I'm saying being gay, I can get the truth, even though I know people are trying to lie to me.
Why are we talking about you?
I'm Doug Danger, I'm a gay man. Get a little of this guy.
Just say you're Doug Danger, you gag.
Hey, Dickman, I'll come to the phone on you.
Sorry, but that...
I didn't say that. I said I'm gay. I'm gay Danger. I'm a Doug man and a Doug...
You dig? Yeah, I'll bet you are.
Yeah, well, people dug me, and they dig me. In the past, they dug me. But my name is Doug Danger. I'm a gut.
You're a gay man.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And when Phil was talking about The Descent, that was the movie that I contributed to that list. And I think it is a brilliant film. I think the special effects are fantastic. The lighting is fantastic. The tale, the story, everything about that movie
was
great.
I thought it was a great film for a lot of reasons. The way the girls turn on each other, the creatures themselves that come out of the dark and that they have to do this battle to the death with. And then, of course, her escape. Now, I know that there's an alternative ending to that, right?
Yeah, there is an alternative ending, which I didn't like. The one that you saw simply sees the young lady who, the one survivor, she's racing away.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of a stupid thing, but... it's always interesting when people are racing away or getting away from the monster and they find their car and they get in. And, well, there are the odd occasions where they can't start the car. In this one, because it's the end of the movie, she jumps in and she gets going. I wonder where the car keys were.
Jesus, Phil.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I mean, where were the car keys?
Probably had them in her pocket.
She probably had them in her pocket or she left them under the, you know, on the dash or something.
Yeah, okay. I mean, she's running from ghouls.
Well, what do you think? The ghouls suddenly render car keys non-existent? Wow, there's a ghoul chasing me. I guess I don't have car keys anymore.
I don't know. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, Phil, just leave the funny to Doug. He's the writer. Now, Doug, what was the film that I asked you about that movie, Let Me In?
Yes.
I saw the Let the Right One In.
What'd you think?
Let the Right One In was quite devastating. There's no question about it. But I really preferred the remake, Let Me In.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes one of you. Because most people love the original, made in Scandinavia, made in Norway, called Let the Right One In. Let the Right One In is about a little boy who grows up in an abusive environment. He lives in an apartment complex in some very snowbound and small Norwegian town. And he is the victim of bullies at school. He meets a little girl at night in the courtyard of this apartment, gets to know the little girl. She's always in her bare feet. She's always dressed rather shabbily. And at times, she smells.
But she smells right.
Well, she smells like death because this little girl is a vampire.
So she smells like a rotting corpse, huh?
That's right.
Well, that's an interesting effect. I haven't heard that or seen that.
Well, you can't really hear it or see it. You got to take the kid's word for it.
What about smell-o-vision? What kind of, improvements have they made?
You know what, bud?
They haven't made any improvements on smell-o-vision.
What are you talking about, man?
But you're talking about a girl that stinks like she just came up out of the crypt.
Well, man, they don't have no smell-o-vision and let the right one in, okay? You just have to take the kid's word for it that she stinks like she just came out of a box. God damn it.
All right, take it easy, Doug. Come on, you know the kid, all right?
All right. Well, anyway, Margaret, what did you not like about that?
No, I didn't say I didn't like it. I liked Let Me In, which was the remake, the American remake. I liked that one. I liked the atmosphere in that one much more. And I just, I don't know. I think Let Me In had a little bit more of the graphic horror.
No, you like the graphic horror, Margaret?
In some instances, yes, I do.
Well, not me.
Phil, what'd you think?
I preferred the atmosphere of Let the Right One In.
You're saying that just to make me look like an ass.
Well, Margaret, look, take it from me. My bags are packed.
Yes, and you're leaving a stranger.
All right, Margaret, I'm not saying that you have bad taste in movies. God knows. I'm saying that watching the Swedish original was terrific. And I like that line where he's almost falling in love with a little girl, right?
Yeah, well, there's a great deal of affection he has for the little girl. And she has affection for him. And he says, at some point, I'd like to be your friend. I'd like to be with you. And she says, would it be all right if I wasn't a girl? And he says to her, yeah, I guess it would be. So right there is the first very creepy intimation that this beautiful young lady that we see, this beautiful young lady, is in fact not a human at all, but is in point of fact the vampire. And Doug Dagner, not a gay man, gay journalist, he came out with a Gay Eye on Horror, which this is our second year. And I can tell you right now, Phil, we really like Let the Right One In.
Now, this Gay Eye on Horror, where can I get a hold of that?
Well, it's a book. We have a listing of movies.
Now, I'm looking through the book, and you've got some great ones. I mean, you got Black Christmas in here. You've got, The Descent. You have Let the Right One In. You have The Visitor. What marks this as a gay book?
What do you mean, what marks it as a gay? What marks it as a gay book? Nothing. I mean, what we're trying to do is be accepted, all the gay critics, all the gay moviegoers, all the gay horror fans, and point of fact, all the gay monsters. Because we are people too. Well, in the essence of being writers and of being creators of horror movies, we are gay horror movie creators. But the gay monster, the gay vampire.
Well, Doug, I don't understand. You're not saying that these are gay monsters and gay vampires.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we have a right to our own world as well. So that if I've got a gay clown,
look, Dagger, we're well aware of the crusade that you've been on.
I'm not on a crusade.
Yes, you have. Everything with you is, hey, I'm gay. I'm gay, right? And if a guy looks weird at you, you clock him.
That's right. I'm not going to have any more of this homophobia. So if you go to see a gay movie, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay, Phil? Right?
Yes, 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 yes. Why do you always do that?
What an asshole, man.
Did he hang up?
Doug. Yeah, no, he didn't. He knows he's not allowed to. Doug.
I didn't hang up, okay? I pretended.
Don't. What's the problem, man?
I said, okay, I'm gay. Do you know that?
No, I don't.
Dagger, how many times have you told us that?
All right, but I'd like a little quicker acknowledgement, that's all.
Yes, I know you're gay.
All right. So, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, when I review a gay creature.
But you're a gay creature. What? Name a gay creature.
Yeah, name a gay monster.
Frankenstein. Oh. You don't think he was gay?
No. Why would I think he's gay?
But did he have sex with the Bride of Frankenstein? No. She was freaked out by him?
Yes, well, he wanted to. He kept saying, friend, friend.
Right there, friend. That's a far cry from, do you want to bump it, ugly, right here on the floor in front of the doctor, the nurses, the whole damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, you can't hang up.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, Phil, for all the world, I didn't see Frankenstein. Now, there were some later versions that they did that James Whale directed. Bride of Frankenstein was one. Also, Son of Frankenstein, Sister of Frankenstein.
What do you mean, Sister of Frankenstein?
I'm telling you that in that film, Frankenstein, the monster, had the Bride of Frankenstein, another monster, and man, I don't know how to put this, but they were on a gurney, and he was just like, yeah, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying?
Get out of here. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, Frankenstein had a, he had his head in Box Canyon, man.
Oh, get, you know what? I've it's been very, very enjoyable. Why didn't you have that on the top 50?
Because the movie sucked, that's why. Because it's straight sex. Now, we got a gay Frankenstein going. Jack, now you're on to something.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like something I'm going to run out and see.
No one cares if you see it. And the other thing...
Well, what do you want to do? Start making porn?
Hey, Andy Warhol did it.
Hey, Doug, I think you really lose the horror. I think you lose the whole sense of horror, the whole marvelous and distinctive thing about horror movies if you start introducing graphic sex, okay?
Well, then you go tell the guy that made Sister of Frankenstein where Frankenstein's having his lunch in Box Canyon. Thanks so very deeply. I'm Doug Danger. May I hang up?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right.
Doug Danger there. Didn't
I leave with it? You know, I am not a fan of this whole Box Canyon thing.
Well, neither's Doug. Good God, man. Doug Danger there with the top gay horror films of all time. We have, I know that we have our good close personal friend there, Dave Oliva, on the line. And he's going to come back here with us and talk about China's space program and just exactly what's going to be up with that in future days. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
You know that the world-famous Phil Henry Show is the place to go for all of your comedy needs in terms of the archived and classic radio shows. But did you know you can also see Phil on our YouTube channel? It's called youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. Bud?
That's right, everybody. The channel's named after me. And why? Well, on account of... Well, I mean, I don't really know, right?
Well, it's named after Bud because it's a very recognizable name. And when you think of weird, you think of Bud and Phil. And you can watch Phil doing the show by going over to youtube.com/RealPhilHenry and look at many clips of the performance of Phil Henry doing the show. So do it. Subscribe today.
That's right. Subscribe to youtube.com/RealPhilHenry. Get a subscription going on our YouTube channel. And then... once we get enough subscriptions, then we can run the whole YouTube apparatus over there on the west side, kick people out into the street, take over the whole thing, you know, barricade ourselves.
Phil, you gotta watch it.
I'm kidding, of course. Anyway, you know, then we'll be able to do some producing out of there. So check us out there and subscribe at youtube.com/RealPhilHenry. Oh, /TheRealBudDickman.
Way to confuse everybody, Mr. Henry.
Sorry. All right, Dave Oliva joining us here on the Newsmaker line as we talk about something very, very interesting as far as I'm concerned, and that is the... Dave, this is the Chinese space program that is going to be launching the same year as the... Well, the Chinese Mars shot, right?
Oh, that's correct, Mr. Henry. So what it's going to be is the Mars shot of China the same year the United States of America is going to be launching a shot to Mars. And it will be very interesting.
Now, why are they doing it the same year?
Well, that is where the optimum, if you will, time, the optimum year, and the optimum angle that Mars reaches in relation to the Earth.
In other words, it's the shortest distance.
That is correct. That's right. Mars is traveling around the sun the same way the Earth is, and travels in much like an elliptical, orbit. But it also is traveling around the sun and turning, too, you know. So there's just a certain way that Mars has to be. And right when it reaches where it's supposed to be, then we have to go, okay, yeah, now. You know, so it is a very, very difficult thing to do. You would have to be in the rocket ship and ready to rock and roll, you know, if you want to put it that way. Ready to rock and roll. You know, like my friend Dodson says, you've got to rock this bitch. You know,
all right, we don't need that language.
I'm sorry.
But get ready to launch.
Yeah, you're ready to launch.
Yes, sir. Ready to launch.
Well, I mean, how long do they got to be sitting in a rocket ship on Earth?
Which ones?
But they're like the Chinese.
Well, the Chinese would probably be sitting there for a long time because I don't think they got their acting. We'd be sitting there very short, and we go, okay, yeah, now go now. But the Chinese be sitting there going,
Will you knock that off?
Come on, don't be a racist.
I'm just screwing around, man. God.
Yeah, man, that's racism, though.
All right, man, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just saying, you know, the Chinese probably be sitting there longer.
Why? Because they haven't got their act together?
Because they ain't never gone to Mars, man.
Well, neither have we.
No, but we have gone to the moon. So at least we blasted it off and flown, you know, to another planet.
Well, you know, the moon is not exactly another planet, but I know what you're saying.
All right, so Dave, what you're saying is the Chinese, because they do not have the experience that we have in space travel, even though we've never gone interplanetary either.
What are you talking about?
Dave, the moon is a moon of the Earth.
Right, but we went to the moon.
That's goes around the Earth.
It's a moon.
It's a moon, okay, thanks. And what's it called? The moon. So, don't that make it a planet?
No, it doesn't make it a planet. It means it's the moon.
What?
All right, look, Dave, just relax. So, we have not traveled to another planet. That's what we plan on doing in 2020, as well as the Chinese. Now, I doubt seriously that the Chinese are going to be sitting on the launch pad longer because they're what? They can't figure it out?
Well, that's basically it. I mean, the Chinese will be sitting on the launch pad, and they'll be looking up in the sky. And, you know, they'll have the people that they have at the Chinese, you know, control panel, whatever they call it. And they'll be going, yeah, what do you think? And we'll go, I don't know, man, you know.
Watch the racism, please.
Do anything?
You're going, oh, I can almost see your eyes squinting.
All right. God, man.
Pretty good, Phil. Good eye. Thank you.
No, but I wasn't doing that, though, Mr. Ennick.
All right, so what about the Chinese?
Well, they're going to be sitting there. They're going to go, okay, there's Mars. When's the optimum time? And one of the Chinese guys will go, okay, now. But he will probably be slow, not as quick as the man from America. The Americans will go, okay, now. And we'll go, you know, we'll blast off sooner.
You know, your understanding of space travel, man, is almost like a 5-year-old's. I'm sorry.
Boy, that's a cold shot.
Well, I'm sorry, Dave. You know, I don't want to say that to you, but when you say that the Chinese are sitting there and they're waiting, what are they waiting for?
Because they don't know the best time to blast it off.
You know what the best time to blast it off would be? As soon as you come into the crosshairs.
Oh, wow, man. Wow.
No, you didn't mean that. You're just pissing me off, Dave.
Man, I tell you what, General, I've never said anything.
You're pissing me off. Now, the Chinese have scientists just like we do. They've got astronauts like we do. And there's no question they'll know when to blast off. And they're not going to sit there scratching their bowl haircuts. God damn.
Oh, so there you go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, telling me I'm a racist. And there he goes with a bowl haircut.
You know what? You pushed me into it. Don't say that, General. You very willingly went there. I'm just telling you, the Chinese are not going to sit there like a bunch of Mr. Spocks.
Yeah, see, he did it again.
Yeah, you want to be racist, General. You know that I know you're not deep down. You're all like talking about Mr. Spock.
Well, you're sitting there bugging me, man. I'm telling you, the Chinese will be a very formidable competition for us going to Mars.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, stands the reason, man. The Chinese know how to do real cool stuff. Did you see the Olympics?
Yeah, I saw the Olympics. What about it?
Man, that was better than any Olympic I've ever seen.
Yeah, that Olympic ceremony that the Chinese put on, man, I swear to God, some of those people were flying. I'm telling you, they took air underneath them. That's the part that really scared me. They were hanging upside down, all kinds of stuff.
Well, that doesn't mean the Chinese are going to be... No, you people, you know, don't worry about it, man. The Earth people, I mean, the American people who, you know, I don't know, it's hard for me not to see the Americans as anything other than the people from Earth, you know? And
yeah, and what are the Chinese? They're Martians?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, they do feel like they're Martians. You know, I look at the Chinese and goes, hey, also, you know, I'll go to Mars.
I told you to knock that stuff off.
Would you not do that, Dave?
All right. But, so that's going to be in 2020.
All right, so the United States is going to be blasting off to Mars the same year.
Yeah, and that, you know, brings up another problem because I don't know, I'm sure they got this worked out, but if we land on Mars and the Chinese do too, you know.
Well, what do you think? We're going to land in the same area?
What if we do? If we land in the same area and you see coming up over the rise, like you said, General, I didn't say it, you said it. Coming up over the rise is a Mr. Spock haircut. It's going to be scary, you know. It's going to be real scary.
All right, knock it off with the Mr. Spock haircut. So essentially what we're saying here is that the race to Mars, you think, could be a dangerous one. And I can disabuse you of that right now. I'm sure there will be great cooperation between both countries.
Well, we don't know. 2020 is, it's only 4 years away, but...
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, and right now, We got all kinds of, you know, it's getting dirty there, man, in the Pacific, out there in the South China Sea. A lot of my friends who's in the Navy, they're going, it's dirty out there, man. It's real dirty.
It's dirty, huh? Well, if it gets dirty on the moon, I guess we'll know.
What do you mean, dirty?
I mean, it's,
What do you mean, it's almost a shooting war? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I mean, a lot of guys are saying that.
If it gets dirty on Mars, buddy, put me in a spacesuit. I'll settle that.
Yeah, Jerry, go up there and kick some ass.
I don't like the whole idea of us going up to Mars and having these Chinese looking at us and going, hey, how about that? Welcome to China. And, no, I won't have that.
I doubt seriously if they're going to be able to say that.
So do I. Anyway, thank you very, very much. Appreciate your being with us, Dave, and telling us about that. That is the Chinese race to make the 2020 launch window to Mars.
Yeah, and it's a launch window because of the fact, like I was saying, that, you know, once the window closes, it's like, you know, it's going to suck. You know, so...
What do you mean it's going to suck?
Well, if the window closes, then it's not going to be no... Then you got to get the window open.
Yeah, in other words, it's not going to be the best time to go to Mars.
Right, yeah, because the planets are going to be all, like, way far away.
Right, because of the interplanet, because of the elliptical orbit, etc. Thank you very much, Dave.
Wait a minute.
No. Thank you very much, Dave, and have a very pleasant tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
What are you doing?
I'm not getting this thing to a conclusion.
All right. Well, we do thank Dave Oliver for that. So what do you guys think?
I don't know. You know, the whole Mars thing... What do you think they're going to do? They're going to grow, you know, celery up there, some damn thing?
Yeah, they think they're going to like Matt Damon the Martian or something.
I don't know what they're going to do. There's no question in my mind that part of that is going to have to do with that, General. There's no question in my mind that they're going to try and vitalize. Would that be the word?
What do you mean?
Instead of revitalize, I think they're going to try to vitalize Mars. They're going to try to introduce life to Mars, and...
Well, because the human beings is going to be there.
Not human beings, but also vegetation, water, this kind of thing.
Oh, so you think... Well, you're not kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. No, of course I'm not. What would be the point of going there if we weren't going to do that? And, you know, because it's a big planet, there is water, as far as we know, and with that water presents all kinds of possibilities, which includes, obviously... irrigating the soil, introducing some kind of crops, and possibly, of course, atmosphere. The kind of atmosphere that human beings can exist in. We turn Mars into an Earth, another Earth.
I think that's very dangerous. You have no idea what you're playing, what you're toying with. We were just talking about the 50 top horror movies that you've never seen. The Descent, and,
Yeah, what if Mars is going to turn into the funhouse?
You got to walk around with, like, a gopher head?
Yeah, that's right. There's all kinds of kids. Never mind.
You think there's some guy walking around on Mars with a gopher head? Brother, you...
You think?
Well, anyway, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and it is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved, on Podcast One.
I'm General Galen Shaw. I'll tell you right now, any gopher-headed Martian want to make a move, you go right ahead and step to me.